When you hear the word repent, what do you think? Do you think that it means that you have to pull in the strings and try harder once again to live a perfect life? Do you think that it means giving up some of the things you enjoy and become a more pious human being? Do you think that it means that you need to work harder to be more acceptable to God? Well, a first reading of Mark might leave you feeling that this kind of thinking is exactly what God is calling you to through John the Baptist. But let's look closer. This week, while I was examining this scripture, I was a little perplexed because I knew that I had to come out here and preach to you a message of repentance. Yet, as I thought about you all, and I saw each one of you, your faces in my mind's eye, I had a hard time thinking what that message would include. I see that you are a congregation that is growing in your faith, a congregation that gives so much to God already. I wondered just what it was that it would be that you would need to repent from. And then I began to wonder what it was that the first hearers of John's voice needed to repent from also. And even more, what gave John cause later in his ministry to call the Sadducees and the Pharisees a brood of vipers? What were these religious leaders doing that deserved such harsh words? So now you know the dilemma that I was faced. I had to look deeper into the situation to figure out how to bring the truth of these scriptures to you. First, let's look at the religious community of the time. These were Jews, people who lived in a very close-knit community, people whose religion was their community. They weren't plagued with all of the outside forces that are present when we walk out of the church each of these Sundays. For the most part, the whole society that they lived in was legislated by the religious rules of living. They all were familiar with the Ten Commandments, and they all lived by a strict religious code. By the time Jesus came, there were more than 600 rules and regulations that governed the people of Israel. And keeping them was the goal of every good Jew. So what did they need to repent of? The gospel tells us that the people flocked to John the Baptist, a strange man, clothed in camel's hair and eating locusts. And on top of that, his message was one of repentance. Why would people flock to him, to such a man? Why would people flock to that message? If you heard that I was daily standing up here crying out for you to repent, what exactly would attract you to me? While it is true that John did cry out to repent, I'm most interested in what it was he wanted those in that community to repent from, and why did he consider the religious leaders a brood of vipers, and the strange paradox that they were drawn to John and John's message. I think to fully understand this enigma, we have to look at the Isaiah passage where John's coming was predicted. It starts out describing God's people as a people needing comfort, needing to be spoken to tenderly with care. God's people have been a people in servitude, and now there was a need for her to be restored to God. That is the setting of the scene when John's coming and the Messiah's coming is predicted. A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." John's message in the mouth of the prophet Isaiah is a message of preparation, of anticipation, of excitement, of hope. Prepare the way of the Lord. He goes on to say, the messenger and the message is a herald of good tidings, saying, "Here is your God. See, the Lord God comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs into his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead them as a mother sheep." Now, I can see that a community that has lived under the strict rule of religiosity imposed by the 600 plus laws and purported by the Sadducees and the Pharisees as being the requirements of their faith, requirements that were impossible to keep, that this may sound like good news. That John's message may just hold a blessing. But in order to understand it clearly, we have to realize that to repent is to turn from the way you have been going and go in the opposite direction. It is a call to a 180-degree change, not a 360-degree change. If it were a call to repent, which meant that they had to pull in the strings and try harder to once again to live a perfect life, or if it meant giving up more of the things you enjoy and become a more pious human being, or if it meant that they needed to work harder to be more acceptable to God, then that would mean it was a call to a 360-degree turnaround. Because that would mean that it meant to do more of the same old that they had been doing. That the yoke they were to wear was even heavier than what it has been. That their religion was a religion of works and not grace. And that is why John and Jesus were so hard on the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These religious leaders were the ones who cultivated a works-oriented religion. One of these extreme laws was that they would not even lift their hand to light a match on the Sabbath. And we see later in Jesus' ministry that those Sabbath laws were put above even the healing of a person's hand and the restoring of a person's sight. Both John and Jesus were vehemently against any religiosity that put works above grace. And that is what they needed to repent from. The Jewish community was to be reintroduced to God through Jesus. Isaiah says, "See, the Lord God comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom." Can you hear it? That God is a good God. A loving God, a caring God, and God is calling them to repent. Repent and let God be God, just as God is. Let the goodness of God be known to you and among you. Let the grace of God be embraced by you. Repent Quit trying so hard to earn your place with God. Repent, relax, and let God love you. And that is, I believe, the beginning place of all repentance. Oh, sure, we can try to repent if we have convinced ourselves or let someone convince us that we are a bad people, a people full of sins. We can try to do better. And yes, we all do commit our fair share of sins. But the beginning place of repentance is knowing, and I mean knowing that you know that God is a good God. God is a loving and accepting God. Because we are not good enough for God. God is perfect, we are imperfect, and we can never be good enough for God. But the good news is that the perfect one came. God came. Isaiah says, "Here is your God." The Lord God comes. The baby that we are waiting for this Advent season is God. Here is your God. Only God can proclaim our sins are forgiven. No one else has the power to do that. And Jesus came. God came to do just that. John was not attractive. John's message was attractive, and all the people went out into the wilderness to see this strange man because he had a message of hope and love, and that it is the same message that we need to hear today. God loves us. God came. Jesus came. So we can know just how much we are loved. And in the light of that love and holiness, be humble to the point where we see our need of Him. His light, His love, His forgiveness, His character, all of which God is. God is willing to and does impart to us through His precious Son, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who comes to us and abides in us, our Lord Emmanuel. God comes. The Lord God comes.